This is Clearly Christian with Dr. Cy Smith, bringing light and giving voice to our country's single greatest hope while moving the culture to God's design. Our mission, to increase the census of those who live and influence society from a biblical worldview. The time for Clearly Christian is now. Here is your host, Dr. Cy Smith.
Hi, I'm Dr. Cy Smith, and this is Clearly Christian, a podcast about what it means to see the world from God's perspective, and then the impact this has on training the next generation to live a life consistent with a biblical worldview. If you like the show, you've been following along, I'd encourage you to leave a review or hit the subscribe button. That'll let others know that the show is worth listening to and certainly help us advance our cause and the mission of Christian education. Today's extra credit version of the Clearly Christian podcast is a deeper dive into my conversation with Dr. Thomas White, president of Cedarville University. The full episode is live, so just look for the picture of Dr. Thomas White, and you'll be able to follow along there. Now, for some extra credit, let's go ahead and dive in. Chalkboard point number one, we must give attention to the intentional training of the next generation of Christian leaders. In order to truly impact the culture for Christ, this next generation is going to need an education that includes three things: a meaningful discipleship experience, strong biblical worldview training in the classroom or in the homeschool situation, and some clear connection between their faith and what it is that they do for a living. It's not surprising that Christian leaders are calling Christians out on this issue and asking their communities, hey, where are the next generation of Christian leaders? Why don't we see an exorbitant or at least a meaningful number of young people actively influencing our culture for Christ? Where are the young, confident, vibrant Christians? Well, there's three dynamics that I think are at play here and why this has been the case and why Christian leaders are not seeing this. Number one, most have not been discipled well as young people. They spend far less time today with their parents and meaningful discipleship experiences, and they spend even less time in those experiences at church. And even when more time is present, again, those times often don't include intentional discipleship experiences that those kids really need, especially not one-on-one. Most kids kind of go through just hoping to grab something of value when they spend actually some meaning time with adults. And second, 90% of the kids in this country, Christian students included, attend government schools where, again, the biblical worldview in the Bible has long been removed from that particular system. Again, claims such as creation not talked about in elementary school, God's hand of history not talked about, or providence not talked about in middle school history, and again, the biblical worldview certainly left out of serious academic discussions in some of those high school courses such as literature, physics, or civics. So again, not once was this person ever challenged to think through, what am I learning and how does this relate to my faith? It's just not a part of their education. And number three, most Christians, as they become adults, have never been trained to make the connection between their jobs and their faith, or in other words, what they've been called to do for a living. They keep their faith their personal, private matter. I think that's a tactic that the adversary has used, and he's very much succeeded. Certainly, the other side wants us to keep our faith to ourselves and keep it a private matter. Don't bring that up here at work. This isn't a Christian company. And I think he succeeded in convincing the American general public of that. So most people just don't see a connection there. So they don't live out their faith in a very meaningful way at work. It just seems best, again, to keep their faith a private matter. So taken together, it's just no surprise that Christian leaders and scholars are calling us out on this and saying, hey, something's got to give here. Something's got to change. And so, as I've said many times before, if we're going to turn things around in this country, we've got to be intentional about training the next generation of Christian leaders. Again, intentional discipling at young ages, intentional in terms of our biblical worldview training, which includes what I'm learning at school. You're going to have the intellectual capacity to make it today and have those intellectual capabilities that come with formal education and training. And then somebody's got to work me through as I get older, how I use those skills, gifts, and abilities God's given me in a job and a place of employment that glorifies Him. And I can connect that with how I'm working or what it is that I've been called to do for a living. Then I might have a chance of really, truly, in a meaningful way, then impacting the culture for Christ. And so that's the impetus behind Christian education and so much of what we're doing today in training the next generation of Christian leaders. Chalkboard point number two. The leadership that matters most is convictional. It's deeply convictional. Authentic leaders are driven by beliefs that lead to action. And these beliefs define us because we know that they're grounded in the truth. In his book, The Conviction to Lead, Albert Mohler wrote this. He said, "Convictions are not merely beliefs we hold. They are those beliefs that hold us in their grip. Without them, we wouldn't know how to lead." I love that idea. I think he's spot on. This isn't something just I believe in. I hold this belief. It's something that actually holds me. I'm defined by it. I wouldn't even know how to exist apart from this conviction or this belief. And most of us feel that way, obviously, as believers, and certainly those of us that are leaders. Well, this is the kind of conviction that's going to make all the difference. You can divide leaders into one of two categories. They either hold positions or they hold great convictions. Erwin Lutzer, he wrote a book I thought was excellent called We Will Not Be Silenced. And he said this, the day of casual commitment to the gospel must come to an end. And again, I wholeheartedly agree. People are anxious for Christian leaders to take a clear position on the truth. They seek someone who's going to define what it is to be a Christian. What do these things mean? Can you help me understand these things? And can you represent what I think is true and what I believe to be true or what I've experienced? And they see what's happening out there and they're not happy. And they want those leaders to step out and step up for the truth. And they're anxious to follow in that regard. He also went on to say in that book that to our shame, we've become afraid of the secular left. We fear negative attention or vilification. Listen, I totally get it. I've been there. I've been a part of receiving negative attention or vilification because of the stand I've taken. So I certainly understand the fear there. But we don't have a choice today if we're going to expect the younger generation to follow along because it's not happening today. They're not following along because we've become too afraid and too reserved in those corners. That's why we have a huge chunk of people out there that have no confidence in defending their convictions. Therefore, they don't want to step out and say those things. They've had zero intellectual training to compete on that public stage and to say, hey, I'll just step back. I'm not exactly sure what I believe and why I believe it. I think this is true, but I've never been trained in it. I've not had been educated in it. I've not been discipled in it. And I've never really talked about it to anybody at work. People are desperate for leaders who have been and will work with them in those areas. We've got to courageously stand against the pressures of our culture that seek to compromise our message and silence our witness. I would totally agree with Lutzer on that point. So in short, we absolutely must lead with conviction. I'd encourage you to do so and look into this further as you lead for Christ in our culture. Thank you, audience, for joining me today on the Clearly Christian Podcast. And I trust that now you know more about training the next generation to truly have an impact for Christ and training the next generation to be Christian leaders in our world. It's so desperately, desperately needed. Again, if you like what you hear, I'd encourage you to hit the subscribe button, leave a review, leave a message. Again, that'll let others know the show is worth listening to and help us advance the cause of Christian education. Remember, as I always say, the only way we're going to turn things around in this country is to increase the number of people who live and operate every day with a truly biblical life and a worldview. And the very best hope we have for achieving that is giving this next generation a Christian education, either at Christian schools or in Christian home education as well. So until next time, we'll see you then. This is Dr. Cy Smith on the Clearly Christian Education Podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Clearly Christian Podcast with Dr. Cy Smith. Hear more episodes at clearlychristianeducation.com. If you'd like more information about Christian education in your neighborhood, or if you're interested in education opportunities at Mansfield Christian School, or if you agree with Dr. Smith and want to help him in his mission to influence and awaken Christian America, you can send Dr. Smith an email through the clearlychristianeducation.com website. Message him on the Clearly Christian LinkedIn or Facebook page, or call the Clearly Christian Connect line at 419-756-5651. This has been the Clearly Christian Podcast with Dr. Cy Smith on clearlychristianeducation.com, brought to you in conjunction with Mansfield Christian School, a Bryan Media production.